somehow it did not feel like it was my turn again, but here I am. I tried to pass it off on Brother Chris, but it didn't work. It said my turn. So I want to start with Matthew 4 and 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So tonight I want to talk about fueling your body and fueling your soul. So if you're 16 and older, you probably know what fuel is because your car requires it. So if you're going anyplace, you have to know what fuel is. And hopefully you've been educated of which one to put into your vehicle. Because if you don't have the right one, it's going to cause a problem. From what I was reading, some of the ones that, like the premiums and all that, some of them you're just going to pay a little more money. It's not going to really benefit or hurt. But if you are having a low octane fuel that you put into your car and you require a high octane fuel, then you're going to lose power in your vehicle. And what I thought was interesting is that diesel is right there really close to the gas a lot. And it would be really easy to grab that sometimes. But if you put diesel in a gasoline car, you're going to have some major problems. And so when I was reading about this, because I mean, I knew this, but I wanted to have my facts straight. Diesel is actually toxic to gasoline fuel systems and vice versa. If you have a diesel vehicle and you put gas in it, the same thing. And this is called, actually they call it a misfueling or a poisoning to the vehicle. And you have to take care to stop the spread of poison like a natural poison. So whether it's the diesel that you put in or the gasoline in it that you put in the wrong tank, the engine is now considered poisonous. And it has, the whole entire fuel system is at risk of contamination. You have to have professional attention, specialized treatment, and you have to flush it out to remove all the toxins. So at that point, if that is not taken, from what I understand, then if it gets into your engine, you're really starting to cause some damage internally to your vehicle. So a lot of you would know about fuel of that, but I want to talk more about fueling into our body and fueling into our soul. So in that instance, we're talking about food, in case you didn't know what I was talking about fueling. Just like gas is kind of food for your car to make it go. So fueling for your body is the nutrients, you know, that's going to keep your heart beating. It's going to keep your brain functioning and active, your muscles working, and it's going to help and build your strength in your bones, your muscles, your other body tissues. And these are all what fuelings do, or what food will do to your body. So we get these flyers. They're from like the hospital, and it had a guy in it that I think he's my sister's boss currently, but I worked with him at State Farm, and it had an article about him and the health crisis he had. So of course I thought it was interesting. I go ahead and read it. And I had seen this guy, and I would see him out walking around the building, and he was very active. He was very fit. If you see him, very slim, very, very built. Like he was very active. I believe he coached his son's softball, baseball, something like that team. Very active. So you would not really think of him as being an unhealthy person. And so his health scare that he had was a massive heart attack. And as I was reading the article, of course, it goes through all of the steps of everything that happened. But the bottom line, when he came down to it, he said, "I was active, and I thought that it didn't matter what I ate because I was active, constantly doing stuff, and that would balance out the junk that I was fueling into my body." And bottom line, it did not. It come down to you have to fuel your body with the right things. Internally, he was doing damage, just like if you put the diesel in the wrong tank. And unknown to him, a massive heart attack was, you know, in the wings waiting to happen. And the most important thing that he found out was fueling his body, was you can't get away with feeding junk just because you're active. So usually they call it like a fueling. They're talking about, you know, they say every 3 to 5 hours you should be feeding your body something. that's ideal. I know it's not, a lot of our days get crazy and schedules, it does not fit in that way. But ideally, to keep your body going every 3 to 5 hours. When they're talking about that, they're not talking about a Snickers bar or a bag of Doritos. Those are not called a good fueling anyway. That's that junk food you're sticking in there. A protein bar, a shake, a banana, an apple. I mean, something that's going to have some substance. That's going to give you the nutrients. That's going to give you your energy to keep going for the next few hours until you need something again. If you fuel with a candy bar, Mountain Dew, chips, within half an hour, probably at least, you're going to be hungry again. Because I've worked in the workforce with an office, which is really bad because you're not active and you get more bored. So you get the munchies, and they had vending machines everywhere. And there would be ones that were just classic junk food people. And they would constantly, like, I'm like, dude, you just ate a half hour ago. And they would go down and get breakfast, and then they come back with a cookie, and then they come back. I'm like, my land. They are, like, constantly fueling with the wrong thing over here. And I was gaining weight just watching them. But they weren't properly fueling their body, so it was actually producing more cravings for that sugar, which sounds weird, but it's true. So the importance of basic fueling, which obviously the most basic fueling is water, because you can go without food for a while. Water is, I think, 3 days or less that you can live without water. So you can go, I think it's 2 weeks. We researched this one day in Sunday school. I think it's 2 weeks without food. But water is much less. So you have to have water, mainly because your body's made of 60% water. So it's got to keep being refueled. So the major things that happen with that is dehydration, fatigue, headache, dry skin, weakened immunity, sugar cravings, changes in your bathroom habits, mental fog. All of those things are going to happen if you don't have enough water. And dehydration can be actually really bad. There are ones that have had severe dehydration. They end up in the hospital. They end up on IVs. It can do damage to their kidneys if it let it go too far. So that can go really extreme if things are not taken care of there. Water also flushes out the toxins in your body. So if you're not drinking the water and you've got all these junky things that you put in there, it's not getting flushed out, then that's where you're going to get sicker. And that's where your immune is going to take a dive. And I wouldn't say most because I don't know all of your drinking habits, but many don't drink enough water. And then we substitute it with those wonderful flavored sugary coffees or pops or sweet tea, which actually sugar is like a dehydrating factor. So when you're eating all of that, it's pulling less, even more of that out of your system, and you're not putting water in there to boot. And then eating sugary foods leads to craving more sugary foods. So if I started my day and my first fueling of the day and my first breakfast item was a donut, it's probably not going to last me very long, right? That's going to be like, great, I'm going to be on this little sugar high for a little bit, and then I'm going to want something more. If I follow that up with a cheeseburger, a cookie, some ice cream, that yeah, sounds wonderful, right? But my nutrition boxes are not getting checked for what my body needs nutrition-wise. And so then what's going to happen? I'm going to need something else. And it's going to be one of those days that I feel like I've ate all day long because I'm hungry all day long. And sometimes when you see people that eat a lot of sugar, they have this burst of energy like crazy, right? And for some, they just talk a mile a minute. Some, they run around like crazy people. And then all of a sudden, what happens? They crash. Especially if you see a little kid. And you give a little kid the sugar, they'll go bananas for a few minutes, like screaming and yelling, and then they're down for a nap. And you're like, oh, what happened? Because the sugar is worn off. Their body's crashed. And the same thing with if we do that. We will nap as well. Or if we have to go and power through our day, which as you get older, you have responsibilities. You can't just go take a nap. You have to go. So then you're like, well, I need caffeine. I'm going to go grab a coffee. I'm going to go get me a soda. I'm going to get something to keep me going for the day. Adding more to that already depleted nutrient because you're just adding more of that sugary stuff. Now, I know I'm talking to the youth, so a majority of you have zero problem with energy. But as you get older, it leaves you. And it's harder to find that energy. And eating junk food is probably not a problem with it. You can get away with it as a teenager, so enjoy it and live it up. But one day, if it becomes a habit that you're putting into your life now, that you're going to just eat junk every single day and that's your plan for life, you're going to pay for that at some point. You're going to probably end up with diabetes or multiple other issues that you're going to have. And so now I know that right now that's not an issue with you, and so you probably don't want me to preach about your junk food. That makes you upset. But we're talking long term. So I saw this video, and I tried to go back to find it to make sure I had it refreshed in my mind. Couldn't find it, of course. But it was about a young man who did not eat food. He just drank energy drinks all day. That's all he drank. And so it had gotten so bad to the point where they had taken him into a medical clinic, and a doctor evaluated him there, and they did a study with him and then someone that was overweight and had some very unhealthy habits there, and they had them swap meals. And they had them kind of see themselves through someone else's eyes, and they'd have to sit together and watch each other eat. And what he come to find out was, at first, of course, he was overwhelmed by the grease and the excess amount of food that the other person had ate. But he started to realize there was some taste to the food that he never really experienced, because he just quit eating. He just was drinking energy drinks. And then he would be so hyped up or so, you know, going that he just didn't need to eat. And so it was really interesting to watch that, as he's discovered that, wow, I mean, this actually has some good taste to it. And then to watch this lady across the table from him consume only the energy drinks that he had had. And I think at one point she actually got physically sick and had to leave because her heart was racing, and she just like, I can't take another energy drink. Why is that the only thing he's eating? And then the doctor came in and kind of did a demonstration with visuals of, this is how much sugar intake you are taking a day, and this is how much caffeine intake you're taking a day. And an eye-opener for this young man that, yeah, I mean, you may look thin and you may look like you're all right, but your nutrition is in the tank. You are just as bad off health-wise as this person that's overweight and has bad eating habits as well. And so, and I was researching about energy drinks, and I know that you guys like your energy drinks. But for every 20-ounce Monster drink, I don't know who likes the Monster drinks, it takes 6.3 gallons of water to flush it out of your kidneys. The average person takes 23 days to drink 6.3 gallons of water. So how many is chugging more than a 20-ounce Monster? And in 23 days, it takes 23 days to get that out of your system, to flush that out of your system. I thought, that is great. That's crazy. Showing what it does to your system. So a lot of times when you're talking about the good feelings, you're talking about proteins. So that's probably why your mom says, go eat a cheesesteak, right? Or go have a yogurt cup, or go have something that has protein in it. Don't go grab something sugary, because it's not going to last you very long. And protein is critical because it fuels that energy, and it carries oxygen throughout your whole entire body and helps make those antibodies that fight off the infections and illnesses that keeps all your cells healthy and creates new ones. So a lot of that information about our bodies and what we're feeling there, we're going to go a little bit to the spiritual body, about what you're fueling your spiritual body with. So obviously we know the basics of feeding fueling our spiritual body is the same as like the basics of water, right? So we know water, and we know the basics of spiritual fueling is reading and praying and church attendance, a given. And it's been told 152 times, at least, just in this room, that reading, praying, Bible, or church attendance is your basics. But there's a lot more to fueling than that. You could eat just protein, and you still would not be all hitting your nutrition. You would be missing some of your dairy, the things that help your bones and things like that. So there's still more. And when you're watching ones, and Brother Chris and I have helped with the youth for many, many years. I don't even remember how. And we've seen many come and go, unfortunately, that have been in this room and no longer worship or no longer have that experience with Christ. And they don't lose it overnight. If you watch, it is a gradual thing. And the same thing, you don't eat all that junk food overnight and then your kidneys fail the next day. It doesn't happen that way. It's a gradual thing. And so when ones lose out, maybe it just starts small. And it usually always starts out with them missing church of some sort. Young people's, or Wednesday night. And it could be for legit reasons. It could be work related. It could be me, you actually don't feel well. But then that kind of rolls into, if they're not feeling their body correctly, if they're not feeling their spiritual body correctly, it rolls into excuses. I have a headache. Should I push on? Would I push on for something else? Probably, but it's church. I better rest. And we start justifying why we need to miss. Maybe when you do that, then it becomes easier and easier to quit and miss more. And maybe it's because you start talking bad about the youth group. And then some had just gotten really, over the years, have gotten just in a grumpy attitude, so to speak, about it's the same thing every time. That we go in there and they do this and they sing a song and it's always the same. They always preach the same things. And they'll actually have like a bad attitude about what things happen. Or maybe it's about different youth or the youth group. And they start to criticize. And so when you start to criticize, your feelings are definitely not good. Because when you're criticizing, you're going to start losing big time. You're going to start losing big time out. And so maybe you're criticizing the lessons, the activities. And then you can't get fed. If you're so worried about, well, I wouldn't have said that. Well, I can't believe they would say that. That's just dumb. You're going to start missing on getting your soul fed because you're so worried about everything that's coming out. Or sometimes you're like, oh, Sister Onion really could use this. Is she paying attention? You know, and you're more worried about everybody else and what it applies to their life. Or you're like, I know they ain't doing good. And they're over there acting like they're just on their head in agreement. And I just know. And you're so focused on everyone around you. And that's why that song, whoever wrote that song, was totally understood. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Why is that? Because people are going to be people. And people are going to disappoint. We're human. And if you have your eyes on people, you're not going to get very far. Right. And the same thing with, it was Peter, when he was walking on the water and he took his eyes off Christ. He did not make it far. And if we take our eyes off Christ and we take our eyes off the goal and we worry about this one and this one and this one and this one, we've taken our eyes off the goal. And if you think they're not going to make it to heaven, you're not going to either. If you start picking them apart and you lose sight of the goal and you fail as well. And so you're missing that fueling that God's providing you. And every message, I think it was Brother Burton said, every message, there's like a little personal pan-sized pizza message for you in every message. And you've got to listen to find out what that is. And now's a good time to listen. Because when you have little ones like we do, we don't even know what happens in service most of the time. So hopefully eventually we'll find that out again. We try to re-listen to some of the messages when we're a little more focused. But so right now is a good time to find that little nugget, that little piece of pizza that's for you. What is in here for me that God has in here? If I'm more worried about this person in my row that needs this message, I'm going to miss out. Right. Maybe it's worldly friends. And I'm not saying you can't have worldly friends. I have some friends that I used to work with. I still get together from time to time. But you've got to be careful because they don't have the same values as you do. They've not been raised the same way as you. And their moral compass does not point the same way as yours. In fact, you have to be careful because they can make you start to question, is this right? I mean, maybe I am being extreme, right? Maybe my parents are just being super old-fashioned. Maybe it really isn't necessary. And then maybe they'll even encourage you to do wrong. Like, well, you know, it's hot outside. Why would you wear that many clothes or, you know, have that long of hair and try to reason with you? And you start to listen to it, you hang around it with enough. And if you're not fueling your body with the right things, it's going to be depleted there. Maybe it's what you see or it's what you read. If it's something super depressing, or is it filled with curse words and offensive content? Is it borderline content? Do you justify it? Well, it's a good storyline. It's a good, if you watch it, you know, it's got good points to it, but there's so much junk in it. You know, like they say, you could have a steak out of the trash can, but would you want to? I mean, there's good, maybe a little bit in there, but you're getting so much junk in there and contamination. Is it worth it? I mean, is it worth taking the risk of getting some salmonella or something weird from that? So just like, and your mood kind of gets depicted off of what you watch or what you listen to, and that's been told in here before. If you watch or listen to a sad song, you're going to be sad, right? If you listen to a jivey one, you're going to be all, you know, pepped up. And if you want to get really good and depressed, just read the news. That'll just bring you right down. Same with, you know, the music. If it's filled with sketchy content, because some of these songs, you listen to the lyrics and you're like, what's the point of this song? There's zero point, and it's just nothing but garbage words. And why are people listening to this? And a lot of times the people will tag it on, and I saw a video the other day, and they said, I'm appalled. People are tagging this on their TikTok videos of their kids, and they're not listening to the lyrics. They're filth. They're total filth. And I'm like, oh, wow. And you just, they got caught up in the tune, stuck it on there, did not even pay attention to what the song was about. And it was, had their little kids in it, and it was really bad. So if you're, that's what you're fueling your soul with, that's junk food. That's not good feelings. Maybe it's something like habits. You do pick up habits along the way. Lots of them are good, and lots of them are not so good. And sometimes you have to, you know, drop some. We have some that are nail biters, and they never want to let that go, right? That's a bad habit. Maybe it's slang words. Some people just pick up slang words, and they're so close to being a bad word that it's not a good habit to pick up. Maybe their actions are borderline. And you're like, yeah, that's not really depicting a good Christian. That's not really showing a good Christian picture. And you and I need to kind of bring it in, right? Maybe it's their attitude. A lot of people have a bad attitude about things, or maybe their clothing's borderline. It's all what you're fueling. So when we fuel with the good nutrients, we reduce or we lose our sugar cravings. So if you're eating your vegetables and you're eating your proteins and you're eating your all your food groups equally and not just the sugar food group, you're not gonna crave a whole entire chocolate cake, not usually. But if you have nothing but chocolate cake, you're gonna want more chocolate cake. If you have one cookie, you want another cookie. And like statistics say that within the first 4 seconds, the taste that's in your mouth is usually like, wow, you know, and then you spend the rest of that meal trying to recreate that taste in your mouth. So if that sugar cookie that you just ate was like amazing, you wanna eat another one because it was so amazing, and it's not as good because you've already gotten that first sugar rush, or what you call it, to your brain of what you've just ate. But if you're fueling it with good things, you usually can say, no, that's going to be too sweet. That's not going to be something I want. And so if we fuel our spiritual body with Christian music, with messages on the audio, a lot of the stuff on that you can listen to now, if you're not a reader, I'm not a very good reader. I just can't stick with it. I lose my attention span. But I would like to listen to it on audio. I can focus better with that. If that's your learning, do that. If that works for you, do that. If that's how you do your daily devotions, there's an app. They have audio. You can have it read it to you if that'll help you. Whatever it does to fuel your spiritual body. If it's doing cards for the sick, if it's doing texts for the discouraged, if it's offering to help, clean, work, whatever's needed, or being in the prayer service. Fueling your body with the right things. But not just being active in the church, not by outward appearance. I'm here, I'm participating, I look like everything's super duper healthy. But inside, I'm feeling all kinds of junk. It's going to come out, and it's going to show to everyone. And more importantly, it's going to kill me spiritually. Internally, I'm going to do damage to my soul. Not telling the world you're different, showing the world you're different, right? Well, they've said it here before. People don't want to know what you have to say. They want to know you care. They want to know you're different. They've had religion shoved down their throats. They've had people tell them Christian till they're blue in the face. They don't want to hear it. They want to see it. They want to see the change. And when they see the true change, then they're more apt to listen to you and what you have to say. And then they're more apt to ask you questions. Well, what causes change? Why, you know, why? And that's my next point, is why. Knowing your why is so important. And I feel like as a youth, you're coming up and you're like, mom says, we're going to church. Okay, we're going to church, we're going to church, we're going to church. And then young people's. And yet you just, it's automatic. And then all of a sudden you graduate and you're like, why? Why do I go to young people's? And why do I go to church? And why do I want to be a Christian? You got to know your why. Because if you don't know your why, it's not going to stand. The first temptation, the first thing that comes along, well, this was dumb. I don't even know why I live like this. You got to know your why. And not only that, then you got to dig deep, lay your foundation, get your roots in, and know this is what I determined to do. If you're determined to work out and and tone up your body and be like this bodybuilder, you can't just give up in 5 seconds. You don't have your why, right? If that is your total goal, you're going to do it. You're going to be determined. You're going to know your why. And on the days that it's raining and you don't feel like going to the gym, you're still going to want to go because you know your why. So the same thing with Christianity. Know your why you're doing it. It's going to be much better than having a built body physically is having a built body spiritually. Just as if you give up your sugar, your caffeine, your coffee, not everybody may notice. Now, sometimes your coffee and caffeine might, because you might get a little grumpier, a little grouchier this first 2 days, right? But people probably gonna be like, oh, you have really sacrificed and given up sugar. They may not even notice that you've given that up. And same thing if, you know, again, you don't have this problem yet, but someday you may need to lose 10 or 15 pounds. And if you lose 10 or 15 pounds, people may not notice it right away. It may not be, oh, look, you lost 5 pounds this week. But you're going to notice in yourself. You're going to be like, I feel different inside. Don't feel that sugar craving. I don't feel that like fog in my brain. I feel like I have more energy. I feel like my clothes fit better. You're going to feel it yourself. And that's what's more important than looking for any praise from anybody. And so the same thing, if you come to church and you just put on your cloak of, I'm here and I'm participating in the service and I am a part and look at me. But inside you're feeling totally wrong and you're giving all that junk in there. Your insides don't match and you're going to feel yuck and you're going to feel down and discouraged and you're going to lose out because your connection's not going to be good. And then importantly, you're fueling often. So just as if you wait too long to eat, if you know you get busy outside and you're like, oh my, it's been like 5 hours and I haven't ate nothing, you're gonna know. Your body's gonna be like giving you a little headache, or you're gonna feel a little dizzy or something. You're gonna know, okay. And then what happens is you run in and you're like, I need the quickest and the fastest thing to shove in my mouth, right? And usually them quick grabby foods are not your healthy feelings again. And then usually you're like, oh, I feel terrible, or let's go to McDonald's and I'll get a number one and a two and a three, and then you have a bellyache, right? And so you've waited too long and you've made bad choices because you waited too long. The same thing within your spiritual feelings. If you wait too long to put things inside, if you skip the services and there's too long in between getting your feelings at church, getting your feelings in between in your devotions, then you're going to make rash decisions and then you're going to reason them away. You're going to overindulge in things that aren't good. You're going to feel really bad. And I love sweet tea. That's my bad thing. And so to me, I have to just give it up completely if I'm not going to do it, because unsweetened tea is just not, it's not cutting it. And I would love to justify that tea is majorly water. I mean, it's just water and you put a tea bag in, right? So that should count as my water intake for the day. If that was the case, I would be so on with my water. But that does not count. In reality, the sugar is doing the opposite effect of the water. Instead of detoxing, now I'm adding all that extra sugar into my system that's going to cause more problems and more sluggishness than, you know, if I had just not drank it. Right. So we can reason out our spiritual feelings, why it's okay. If you think about it, maybe it's not that bad. If we really want to do something and we really want to eat something, and we're trying to like tell everybody that I'm on a diet and I'm not eating cake, but there's a cookie and you're like, well, I mean, that's not cake. And it's only small, it's only this big. If you really want it, you're gonna reason it away to exactly why it's okay to do it. The same thing with your spiritual. If there's something you wanna do, something you wanna have, something you wanna act on, or whatever the case may be, you're gonna find a way to justify it. And if you're not fueling correctly, it's gonna be so much easier. You know, you're not fueling your body correctly, it's so much easier to say, what's a cookie? We'll start again tomorrow, right? But when you're feeling good, you're like, no, I'm on today. If I eat a cookie, it's going to totally throw me off. And I'm not doing that. And the same thing with spiritual feelings. If you're on, you'll be like, no, we're not going to do that. I've gained way too much ground to let that go just for that. And in reality, it's going to just deplete you of your nutrients physically and spiritually. And it's going to strip away all the good things that you need in your system. And just like McDonald's, my kids love McDonald's. I'm pretty sure my McDonald's days are past. The last few times I've had them, which has been months ago, it did not go well. It did not like me, and I did not like it, and I got really sick to my stomach. So that is food I'm not going to have no more. I just decided it's not worth it. And so the same thing with when we're feeding our spiritual body with junk, it makes us sick. It makes us spiritually sick. And if you just keep putting that in there, and you're just like, at some point you're like, and that's when people say, I've come to Jesus sick of sin. They've fueled it so long, and it's just like, I can't do this anymore. It's really just destroying my insides, and I can't do this anymore. And then I thought about the kids' song, that's for, I don't remember all the words, but you know that, the basic four, you need to know to grow, so do it, stick to it, and what's the last one? Grow? And grow. Do it, stick to it, and grow. So when you're doing your feelings, when you're doing your spiritual feelings, do it, stick to it, and you'll grow. Amen.